some time ago, perhaps maybe a year ago right now, or even more, someone sent me a meme. There were three panels, three slogans in the square that said, through the panel that said 2019, the man is wearing a t-shirt that says, avoid negative people. And then in the panel that says 2020, the man's t-shirt says, avoid positive people. And then in the shirt 2021, avoid people. And that was, of course, a humorous way to reflect on the effect of the pandemic on us. But when I read about the leper in today's gospel, I thought maybe someone will extend that meme 2022, avoid unvaccinated people. And that's what people are talking about nowadays. You see, the mentality of that meme and that mentality of the world in general is against people. Against people who aren't like us, against people who don't agree with us, against people we don't like. It's not Christianity, but it's very prevalent. It's a natural reaction. And if you think about the fragmentation of modern society, you see how bad this is nowadays. Everybody seems to be against just about everybody else, except the people in their very own very small specific group. Today we reflect again on Jesus' encounter with a leper. Now, a leper was excluded from society. We know this. A leper was someone that you were supposed to avoid, or lepers are supposed to avoid everybody. They were supposed to stay away from the civilization and keep a safe distance from everybody. Now, it might come to your mind that we just heard about this leper, and it's true. We just heard about him last Friday. It's not even a week ago. We reflected on Luke's version of this healing of the leper. Today we read Mark's version. You've heard me remark about how odd it is that we don't get in the liturgy the passage about Jesus performing the miracle at the wedding at Cana, but we do get other stories, and here this story of the leper we get twice in the space of less than a week. That's just part of the strange development of liturgy. The advantage of liturgy is that these things are not decided by us. We don't pick what we're going to ponder. We join in the pondering of the church, and the church is pondering now this healing of the leper. Although, since we're led by the liturgy, we can compare last week to this week. Of course, Luke's version and Mark's version have slight differences, and that can be interesting, if not completely spiritually fruitful. At least it can be interesting to see why there are differences. But from a liturgical perspective, we can say that last week we were in the Epiphany week, and we were reflecting on God manifesting himself. So the healing of the leper was a manifestation of God with us. This week we are in ordinary time, and we are following Jesus in his public ministry. Of course, it's the same Jesus doing the same ministry, but we look at it from a slightly different perspective. Now, it's not just a declaration of God with us, but God with us applying his divine power to our advantage. It's the whole point of the baptism of Jesus. Jesus in the Jordan reveals God, not just God with us, but God making creation holy. He isn't here just for us to see, oh, there he is. He's here so that we are transformed by his grace. That's baptism. Baptism isn't just a celebration of God with us. It's a celebration of God making us with him. So we can say the healing of the leper is yes, a revelation of God with us, but it's also a revelation of what God wants to do for us, that is, make us clean. Of course, baptism is the great sacrament that makes us clean. Now, in light of this revelation of what God wants for us, it's good for us to go back to what we heard yesterday in the story of Samuel. Samuel, young Samuel at the temple, was taught to say to the Lord, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." So listening to the Lord is one of the fundamental attitudes we have to learn and practice, listening to the Lord. What does the Lord want? Not what do we want or what does anybody else want? What does the world want? What does God want? What is He saying to us? And this leper manifests this in a very humble way. You notice how when he presents himself to the Lord, he doesn't say, "Heal me." Or he doesn't say, "I want to be healed." He says, "If you wish, you can make me clean." No demand there. It's presenting himself and his uncleanness to the presence of God. "Here I am. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Certainly he wants to be made clean, but he's really submitting himself to what God wants. "If you want, you can make me clean." The opposite attitude is on display in today's first reading. This is not about Samuel, but it's in the days when young Samuel was there in the temple. The Israelites are in conflict with the Philistines, and they get defeated. They say, "Oh, what went wrong here? Let's get the ark and drag God into this. Let's make God fight on our side." Now, it sounds like a very holy thing to bring the ark into battle, but the attitude behind it was not, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." The attitude was, "Okay, God, do what we want." So it's you, not we are listening to you, but you better listen to us. You see the difference? And the result is an even worse defeat, in fact, much worse. In the first defeat, it says the Israelites lost 4,000 men on the battlefield. The second defeat, they lost 30,000 foot soldiers. So it got much worse, which is something that tells us if we are going to get into the error of telling God what to do, we're going to make things much worse for ourselves. Now, we know from the scriptures that the reason why God allowed them to be defeated is because they were not doing His will. They were not listening. Hophni and Phinehas, in particular, were examples of priests doing their own will and using their position as priests for their personal advantage. Something that Pope Francis has been very sharply critical of throughout his papacy, the danger among the clergy of using the rank of the clergy for the personal advantage, clericalism. That's not why a person is called to serve the Lord. That's not why a man is called to be a priest. It's not for him. It's for the glory of God and for the salvation of souls. Well, Hophni and Phinehas were focused on their own glory and no one's salvation. They were just living a very worldly, fleshy life. And that left them subject to the power of the Philistines. What you see in this battle here, Israelites versus Philistines, is one human force against another. Neither of these armies is relying on the power of God. They're just mustering up their own best efforts, kind of a typical human conflict. The Philistines, when they hear the Israelites shouting in joy that the ark has arrived in the camp, at first they're frightened. They say, oh no, now we're in trouble. Now they have gods on their side. But that you see on what's exhibited here is the what the psychologists call fight or flight, the fight or flight reaction. Their first reaction is fright, flight. they're gonna pull back from these gods. And then they say, wait a minute, why should we do that? We'll just end up being their slaves. Let's fight. So it's a natural human response. And they end up fighting harder than the Israelites, and the Philistines beat the Israelites. But in nowhere do we see anybody saying, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. We don't have anybody in this first reading submitting himself like the leper to the presence of God and saying, if you will to do so, you can make me clean. If you will to do so, you can give us victory over our enemies. If you will to do so, you can restore us from our fallen condition. Nobody's saying that to God. And so there's no opening for God to bring about a restoration. What we learn from the gospel is that Jesus does will to make us clean. This is a guarantee. This is why he came. He came to set us free, to overcome our enemy, the evil one, to set us free from the power of sin and death. This is why he came. He does want to. So when we submit ourselves to him, we're not losing any advantage. That's how it feels when we say, okay, Lord, your will be done. It's a kind of, there can be a feeling of helplessness. But, and that's normal, nature doesn't like that feeling. But when we are placing ourselves in the hands of God or under the care of God, we have a guarantee that he will do what's best for us. That's why we do it. That's why it's reasonable to put our trust in God, because he has revealed that he is on our side. So this is then an encouragement for us to listen, to submit, to believe, to present ourselves and our leprosy, our helplessness, our need, our defeats, to present all of this to God with confidence that his will for us is better than our will for ourselves and is better than anybody else's will for us. So we say, Lord, redeem us because of your mercy. Make us clean. Help us. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening.